I want to welcome everybody here. A special welcome to the Orchaim Chevra. And it's a pleasure welcoming you to our 8th annual Yom Iyun on Tanakh. We have a wonderful day planned, and we're going to kick it off in this room. Rabbi Grummet, Zvi Grummet, who lives in Israel, grew up in New York, attended, got smicha at YU, at Yeshiva University, taught for many years in the United States, made Aliyah 13 years ago, and today he teaches at Pardes. He works at the Lichtenstein Center for Jewish Education. He teaches Tanakh at Eretz HaTzvi. I think there are people here who had him as a Rebbe in Eretz HaTzvi, and it's a pleasure to have him here. This is the first time we've had him as a Torah in Motion speaker, but as you'll soon hear, it's we hope to have him back in the future. Bakasha, Rabbi Grummet.
Thank you. I'm just going to go up. I'll be good. That's fine. Okay, good morning. It is a pleasure to be here in Toronto. This is my first time speaking for Torah in Motion. I had been to Toronto years ago, but this is my first time being here for Shabbat. And it was really it was very nice and very welcoming community. As many of you know, we have a really important Chag coming up. Right? What's it called? Pesach, right? How long does it last? Eight days here, 7 days in Israel. And what day of the month does it come out on? Well, what day of the month of Nisan does this Pesach come out on?
14th.
The 14th? Everybody agree with that, the 14th? 15th? There seems to be a little bit of a disagreement over here as to whether it's the 14th or the 15th. Okay. So, good. So that was the opening I was waiting for. And... That's great. So that's what we're going to start with. I have some sheets here, some source sheets here, and we're going to start by learning some Chumash. Okay, so if we could pass some of these around.
Thank you.
Pass them around. Yeah, great. Thank you very much. So we're going to see some really strange things. It's going to take us a while to parse this out, to figure out what it's really all about. Okay, the source sheets are coming around, and I would suggest that we start on page 3. Well, thank you. Oh, great. Okay. Thank you very much. So page 3 comes from Vayikra at the top. By item number 3 comes from Vayikra Perek Chav Gimel. Vayikra Perek Chav Gimel and Parashat Emor is probably the central portion in the Torah that talks about the Chagim. It covers all the Chagim, and according to some, it even covers Shabbat. But it is the central section of the Torah that talks about Chagim. And let's just take a look right here. Ela Moadei Hashem. Mikra'e Kodesh Asher Tikrotam B'Mo'adam. So these are the Mo'adei Hashem, the special times of the year that are Mikra'e Kodesh, that we declare to be Kodesh, that we are to declare Asher Tikrotam, that you, meaning you, me, B'nai Yisrael, are to declare them in their time. B'Chodesh HaRishon, in the first month, B'Arba'asar LaChodesh, on the 14th day of the month, Pesach LaHashem. Okay, so we had a machloket here, was the 14th or the 15th. Vayikra seems to say it's on the 14th day of the month. But now let's take a look at the next pasuk. Uvachamisha sar yom lechodesh hazeh, but on the 15th day of this month, Chag HaMatzot LaHashem, Shivat Yamim Matzot Tochelu. What's going on? We have one holiday that takes place on the 14th, and we have a different holiday called Chag HaMatzot, that takes place on the 15th and lasts for 7 days? What is that? Now it turns out there's one other place in the Chumash where we have all the Chagim, but really all the Chagim, including Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, that comes up, and that's where all the Haftarot come from. Because, not the Haftarot, the Maftir. Every time we have a special Maftir. So it comes from there because it talks about the korbanot of those special days. All right? So let's take a look. Okay, and this is Bamidbar. This is Parshat Pinchas, Bamidbar, Sinai, Perek Kavchet. Uvachodesh harishon, in the first month, bi'arba'a asar yom lachodesh, on the 14th day of the month, Pesach l'Hashem. Okay? At least Bamidbar is consistent in Vayikra. Uvachamisha asar yom lachodesh azechag. But on the 15th day is the holiday. Shivat yamim matzot yachel. Everybody familiar with the fact that we have two different chagim that come out in the month of Nisan? Right? There's Chag HaMatzot, which is a seven-day holiday, and there's Chag HaPesach, which is a one-day holiday. That's really interesting. Do we have special davening for Chag HaPesach? No? So Chag HaPesach is just... So is it a Chag? Is it? We have the fast of the firstborn, which is a pretty strange thing on a day that's supposed to be a holiday. And here's the really interesting thing. I have searched throughout Tanakh. I have never found the word korban associated with Pesach. In the Mishnah, you'll find the word korban associated with Pesach. In Tanakh, I have yet to find the word korban associated with Pesach. That's really, really strange. We have this day called Pesach. It's not even called Chag. Right? Take a look in Vayikra again. B'chodesh harishon b'arba'as salachodesh bein ha'arba'im Pesach. It's not called Pesach. The next one is called Chag HaMatzot. B'midbar Sinai tells us the same thing. B'chodesh harishon b'arba'as yom lachodesh Pesach. U'v'chamisha asar yom lachodesh hazeh Chag. Right, the 15th day is the Chag. Right? So we have this thing called Pesach that's neither a karban nor is it a Chag. And we do this thing called Pesach, or this day called Pesach, is the 14th day of Nisan. And then we have the seven-day holiday, which is Chag HaMatzot. So that's a great question, because I haven't found Korban Pesach in Tanakh. Okay, so let's do that right now. Okay, that's a great question. Okay, let's turn back to page one. Let's look at that right now. Page two. Okay, this on the right-hand column, we have the piece that we read yesterday. Okay, I'll read it with a loose translation as we go along. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe v'el Aharon be'eretz Mitzrayim le'mor. Hashem spoke to Moshe and Aharon in Mitzrayim and said the following. This month is the first month of the year. So speak to everyone, speak to the entire community. On the 10th of this month, every person should take a sheep for their household. And if the household is too small to finish an entire sheep, then you join together with another family. Right, you count up the number of people you need in order to be able to finish the sheep. Okay, it should be a year old, it should be a male, it should be complete without blemish. Minakvisim uminaizim tikachu, could be a goat also if you want. Goat sheep. Vayalachem the mishmeret adarba'a sayom lachodesh hazeh. And you should hold on to it, you should watch it until the 14th. Veshachatu oto kol kahaladat Yisrael bin ha'arbaim. And in the afternoon of the 14th, you should shecht it. And then what do you do with it? Vlakhum in hadam, you take from the blood. Venatnu al shtei hamazuzot ve'al hamashkof. You take the blood and you should put it or paint it onto the two doorposts and the lintel. Al habatim asher yochlu oto bahem, on the very houses in which you're going to be eating it. V'yachlu et habasar b'layla hazeh. You should eat this meat on that night. Tzli eishu matzot al merorim yochluhum. Roast it and eat it together with matzah and maror. Don't eat it raw or boiled. kim tzli eish, but rather roasted. Rosho, al kra'av, al kirbo, all the parts together. V'lo totir miminu ad boker, don't leave over anything until the morning. V'hanotar miminu ad boker ba'eish tisrofu. Anything left over has to be burnt. V'chacha tochlu oto, and this is what you have to do when you're eating. Motechem chagurim, your belts have to be on. Na'alechem baraglechem, your shoes on your feet. Makelchem biadchem, walking sticks in hand. V'achaltem oto b'chipazon, eat it really fast. Pesach u'lashem. Okay. Have you seen the word carbon any place? Is there a mizbeach? Do we do any of the things we normally do with the carbon? Is it sacrificed? Not in Mitzrayim. Ah, so you think that afterwards it will be. Right? Okay. So you know what? Let's take a look let's continue. Let's see what our Hashem continues. Pasuk Yud Beit, V'yavarti v'eretz Mitzrayim b'layla hazeh. Says Hashem, I will pass through Mitzrayim on that night. V'yiketi kol b'chor b'eretz Mitzrayim, me'adam v'ad behema, v'chol Elohim Mitzrayim eseh shfatim ani Hashem. I will pass through Egypt and I will smite, good word, I will smite all the firstborns in Egypt, human, animal. V'haya hadam lachem la'ot al abatim. But this blood will be for you as a sign on your houses, asher atem sham, right, that you are in. V'ra'iti et hadam ufasachti alechem. I will see this blood. I will skip over you. V'lo yihyeh v'chem negef l'mashchit b'hakuti v'eretz Mitzrayim. And the plague will not affect you. V'haya hayom hazeh lachem l'zikaron. And you should have this day as a remembrance. All right, this is where we get to your question. What about in the future? Right? Right? This is where we make the transition into the future. So how do we do this in the future? Shivat yamim matzot tochelu. How do you commemorate the one day in Egypt, that one night in Egypt? You have a seven-day holiday in the future. Wait a minute. What hall are we talking about now? Chag HaMatzot. Pesach is a one day. It's not called a Chag. Right? Chag HaMatzot is a seven-day Chag. Pesach is a one-day thing. We don't even know what the thing is. But again, nowhere in Tanakh have I found anywhere where Pesach is called a Karban. In the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi calls it a Karban. But in Tanakh, it's never called a Karban. And we'll see some other examples of this elsewhere in Tanakh. It's not called a Karban. That's very strange. And for future generations, okay, you want to see future generations? So this is where Hashem talks about future generations. He says nothing. He says in future generations, you're going to have a seven-day holiday called Chag HaMatzot. Which, by the way, just to toss out, you know, one of the great paradoxes here, he tells them about Chag HaMatzot, they haven't left Mitzrayim yet. Which means we all know why we have matzot, right? Right? Because, right? When we left Mitzrayim really quickly, we didn't have time for our bread to rise, and which actually comes up at the very end of this perek. But Hashem tells them about a 7-day holiday called Chag HaMatzot long before that happens. That's really strange. I mean, he told him about the commemoration of something that hasn't happened yet. This whole thing is really strange. So we have two different days. Or we have a chag, a seven-day chag. Okay, we have a one-day Pesach, which we don't even know what it is. It's not called a chag. Right? It's not even called a karban. I'm so used to calling it karban Pesach. But the Torah never calls it a karban. It's very strange. It doesn't have any carbon things associated with it, even though when you listen with a really sensitive ear, it's sort of like a pseudo carbon. It has some of the signs of carbon that go with it. For example, right, what are some of the carbon things that are associated with that first night that they did this in Mitzrayim? Okay, roasting by fire. Right, the roasting by fire Because on the Mizbeach, when they would bring it, you had just fire. There were no pots. There was, you didn't boil it or anything else. It had to be roasted by fire. Good. Okay. What else sort of echoes carbon over here with this thing? Yeah?
Blood.
The blood. Now, usually a carbon, right? Actually, the most important part of the carbon is not the shechting of the carbon. It's what you do with the blood, right? The shechting of the carbon, you don't even need a coin for. Right, but the sprinkling of the blood, right, the catching of the blood, the carrying of the blood, the sprinkling of the blood on the mizbeach, that's what the real avodah in the karban is. And here they don't really have a mizbeach, but they do something really interesting with the blood. They actually paint it on the doorposts and the lintel. Yeah. In Kitisa, it's called Chag HaPesach or Chag HaMatzot? Chag HaPesach. Let's take a look. Great. At Chag HaMatzot Tishmor. Pasuk Kaf Hei. Ah. Zevach Chag HaPasach. Okay, interesting. If you take a look a little bit earlier, where it talks about the Shalosh Shugalim, Et Chag HaMatzot Tishmor Shivat Yamim Tochal Matzot Asher Tzivitichah. Right, and then afterwards, Zevach Chag HaPasach. Le'yonim LaBoker Zevach Chag HaPasach. Really interesting. Great. It actually appears one other place. Okay, no, that doesn't appear any other place. That's the only place. There's a parallel pasuk back in Mishpatim. And the parallel pasuk doesn't call it Zevach Chag HaPasach. It just says Dam Zivchi. Okay? Now we found one example in all of Chumash where Pesach is called a Chag. Right? And only when it refers to the korban. Or, no, it's not a korban, it's a zevach. Zevach just means the thing that you slaughter. Right? Lizboach in Hebrew means to slaughter, means to shecht. Right? That's the Hebrew word for shechting. Okay? It's, or the Torah's word for shechting is lizboach. Right? The parallel pasuk that you're looking for in Parashat Mishpatim is in Chaf Gimel Yudchet. Lo tizbach al chameit dam zivchi. Dam zivchi. So it's not even called Chag HaPesach there. It's dam zivchi. Okay. So we have some strange things happening over here. We have these two different days. We have the Pesach, which is not called a karban, and yet has karban-like qualities. It's sort of a pseudo-karban. One of my students wanted to call it a proto-karban. Right, a proto-carbon means it actually eventually grows up and becomes a carbon. In the Mishnah, it grows up and becomes a carbon. And that's why it's a good idea to call it a proto-carbon. In the Torah, it remains a pseudo-carbon because it looks a little bit like a carbon. We have the sprinkling of the dam, sprinkling of the blood, which is a little bit funny because we don't have a mizbeach. We sprinkle it on the homes. We have the roasting. There's also something else about it that, yeah? Exactly. Well, the language of the Torah and language of the Mishnah aren't exactly the same. In the Torah, zevach just means to slaughter. Okay, v'zavachta ka'asher tziviticha just means shecht, the mitzvah of shechita. Okay, so lizboach, zevach is things that we shecht. It turns out that there are many times in the Torah, like when they were in the Midbar and other times, they weren't permitted to shecht outside of the context of korbanot. Okay, but the word lizboach actually means to shecht. Okay, so we have the roasting, we have the blood, and we have don't leave it over until the morning. The prohibition, the iser to leave over something until the morning is something you find all over the world of korbanot. Okay? And by the way, it's actually tied to something else that's really interesting. Because in the we know that when does our day start? At nighttime, right? Sun goes down, shkia, can't light candles anymore, Shabbos already, right? Meaning, you know, our day starts at nighttime. In a mikdash, the day starts in the morning. A mikdash day starts in the morning, and it goes for 24 hours until the next morning. So a karban that I bring today, I can eat today and through the night until tomorrow morning. Tomorrow morning is the end of this day. Okay, so the nighttime belongs to the next day. And if when you understand that, all of a sudden, something really interesting comes up. It turns out that we have these two different days. We have one day that's called the Pesach. That day starts on the 14th in the morning. And that is a Mikdash day. As a Mikdash day, as a Karban day, the day starts in the morning and continues until the next morning. That's the 14th in the Mikdash. But then we have the day outside the Mikdash. And the day outside the Mikdash starts at nighttime. Okay? So the nighttime is on the secular calendar. Right? Secular meaning the one that we live outside the Mikdash. On the secular calendar, that night is the 15th. In the Mikdash, that night is the 14th. And that night, right, the night that we do our Seder on, that night is actually an overlap where these two different days meet, where the day of Pesach meets Chag HaMatzot. And that night is actually both. The night of the Seder is actually both Chag HaMatzot and the Pesach. Okay? So, right away, there's something really interesting happening over here in terms of our Seder. Right? And when you read it, particularly in light of the Chumash, and what I'd like to do for just a couple of minutes, I'd like to explore a little bit. I'd like to first explore what Moshe does to this. And then I want to take a step back and try to understand what each of these Chagim are really all about. Because Moshe does some very strange things. Right? We had read through on page 2. We had read through Hashem's instructions to Moshe. The first half of the instructions, very clearly you're talking about the Pesach, right? This thing that you do with the animal, this pseudo-carbon or proto-carbon, and then it switches into Chag HaMatzot, right? Starting with Pasuk Tedvav, right? In that right-hand column, It switches into Chag HaMatzot, the seven-day holiday that we do as a commemoration. Shivat Yamim Matzot Tochelum. Bayom HaRishon Tashbitu Sa'or Mibatechem. On the first day we get rid of all of our leavening. Ki Chol Ochel Chameis V'Nichvata Nefesh Hayim Yisrael Mayom HaRishon Ad Yom HaShvi'i. Uvayom HaRishon Mikra Kodesh. The first day is a sanctified day, which means Yisur Melacha. Uvayom HaShvi'i Mikra Kodesh Yelachem. Kol Malacha Lo Yaseh Behem. So the first day is a holy day. The last day is a holy day. Okay. Continue. Pasuk 17. Yudzayim. Ushmartem et HaMatzot. You should remember. You should guard these matzot. Ki be'etzem hayom hazeh hotzeiti etzavoteichem eretz Mitzrayim. Because on that day, it turns out I took you out of Mitzrayim. Ushmartem et hayom hazeh ledarotechem chukat ulam. Barishon in the first month, b'arba'a asar yom lachodesh on the 14th day, at night. Right, we're back to that 14th day at night. Tochlu matzot, that's when you start eating matzot. Ad yom ha'echad ve'esrim lachodesh ba'erev. Okay, until the 21st day at night. Shivat yamim. Again, we're talking about the 7-day holiday. So what we have over here is something really interesting. When Hashem comes to tell Moshe to prepare Bnei Yisrael, Hashem is very, very explicit. The first half of what Hashem tells Moshe is, make sure that you guys do the Pesach. Let me tell you exactly what the laws of the Pesach are. And the laws of the Pesach, by the way, for that generation of Mitzrayim, laws of the Pesach is you have to eat it really fast and prepare to move. Walking sticks in hand, you're all buckled up, right? That's the business with the belts. It means you're buckled up, you're dressed, you're ready to go. You're at a moment's notice, you're ready to go. Your shoes are on at the meal, right? No, nobody wears shoes at the meal, but your shoes are on at the meal. You go out. In the ancient world, you came into somebody's house, the first thing you did was you took off your shoes and you washed your feet. Avraham, Lot, they all did the same thing. Right? You came into somebody's house as a traveler outside, your feet are dirty, you take off your shoes, you wash your feet. Comes Hashem and tells them, put your shoes on. Right? The shoes, by the way, is really interesting. It's a really interesting marker. Why does Hashem tell Moshe to take off his shoes when he comes to the Sneh? There's a little side point. Why does Hashem tell Moshe to take off his shoes? Right? Because the place you're standing is Kadosh. So why do you have to take off your shoes in a place that's Kadosh? The reason you take off your shoes in a place that's Kadosh is because wearing shoes means you're ready to leave. You come into a place that's Kadosh. The first thing you do is you make a sign that there's a place where I belong. I'm not getting ready to leave. You go into the Mikdash. You're not allowed to wear shoes in a Mikdash. You're not allowed to walk in with your backpack to the Mikdash. You're not allowed to walk in with your walking stick to the Mikdash. Right? So Hashem says, this is a pseudo-carbon. It's not Mikdash. Because you guys are ready to leave. Mikdash means you stay. You're permanent. Right? To leave the Mikdash is hard, which is why we take three steps backwards when we finish davening. Right? I'm leaving the presence of the Shekhinah. Okay? Maybe we should all be davening barefoot. I don't know. But the notion of Mikdash means you are here permanently, you're not leaving. And the notion of this Pesach, that they did Mitzrayim, is get ready because you're leaving. Everything about it says, you're leaving. Okay? Okay, so it's very clear. Hashem tells Moshe to do two things. Okay? One, prepare them for that night, in which they're doing their special weird meal with the blood on the doorposts. And second, in the future, you're going to commemorate this with a seven-day holiday of Chag HaMatzot. Okay. Let's see what Moshe does with this. Pasuk Chaf Aleph is the second column. Vayikra Moshe lechol zeknei Yisrael vayomer aleihem. So Moshe calls all the zekenim and he tells them, Mishchu kachu lachem tzonu mishpechoteichem v'shachatu apasach. So go take your sheep for your families and shecht your Pesach. They don't know what a Pesach is yet, but he tells them to do it. The first they hear of it, he calls it a Pesach. Okay, so get your sheep, shecht your Pesach. Ulekachtem agudat ezov, so take your paintbrush. Ezov is hyssop, right? It's a bush that has a lot of little leaves on it, and you dip it into the paint. You can use it as a paintbrush. So take your agudat ezov, your paintbrush. Utvaltem badam asher basaf. So make sure that you take your paintbrush and dip it into the blood and paint your doorposts and the lintel. V'yatem lo teitzu ish mipetach beito ad boker. Don't leave your houses until the morning. V'yavar Hashem l'ngofet Mitzrayim. God is going to come and Hashem is going to afflict the Egyptians. V'ra'at adam ala mashkof v'yashtei ha-mezuzot. When Hashem sees the blood, Ufasach Hashem ala petach, God will skip over your houses. I guess that's how he's going to know that you're Jewish. That's a little strange. I mean, without that, he wouldn't know. We'll come back to that. V'lo yitena mashkit lavol batechem lengov, God won't allow the destroyer to come into your houses. Ushemartem et hadavar hazeh, and you should observe this or keep this. V'chok lecha ulevanecha adulam. For future generations, right? We remember when Hashem told this to Moshe, and he spoke about the future generations. So what did Hashem introduce at that point? Chag HaMatzot, the seven-day holiday, right? Let's take a look at what Moshe does with this. He's following exactly what Hashem says, right? Pasuk Kafei, V'ayaki tavo el ha'aretz asher yitein Hashem lachem kasher diber. When you finally get to the land, Ushmartem et ha'avodah hazot. So make sure that you observe this. V'haya kiyom, but avodah in Chumash usually means service in the Mishkan. Malacha means creative work. Avodah means service in the Mishkan. That's why tefillah is called avodah shebalev. It's divine worship that we do in our hearts, as opposed to the divine worship that we do in a Mishkan. Right? So ushmartem et ha'avodah hazot. You should observe this divine avodah. So when your kids come and they ask you, or they say to you, what is this to you? Va'amartem zevach pesach hu la'ashem. This is the Pesach that we slaughter to Hashem. Asher Pasach al batei v'nei Yisrael b'Mitzrayim, that he skipped over the houses of B'nai Yisrael, b'nok poet Mitzrayim v'et batenu itzil. He afflicted the Egyptians, he saved us. And that's the end. Vayikoda am vayishtachavu. They all bow and they leave. And they do. They do exactly as they were told. What did Moshe forget? Or omit? Hagamatzot. We've got that whole piece in there where Hashem tells him, prepare B'nai Yisrael for the future. There's going to be a Hagamatzot in the future. And Moshe doesn't say a word about it. That's really strange. Can anybody help me? Hashem tells him to do this, and he doesn't do it. Yeah. Right. Meaning. So you're right. So there are two different days. Hashem ties them together. Hashem connects them. Hashem says the way we celebrate, the way we commemorate that night in Mitzrayim is by doing the seven-day holiday. But Moshe tells them the way you commemorate that night in Mitzrayim is by repeating it. That's really strange. So I'd like to make a interesting. So why isn't it here? He didn't want them to prepare matzot. He wanted it to be a nice surprise for them. Right? This is a little troubling. Yeah.
They're not going to have time to eat the matzot because they're going to be moving.
Even though. The mitzvah to eat the Pesach is together with matzah, which, by the way, is another sign of Karban. Because there was no lechem, there was no bread in the Mikdash. It was, with one exception. Lechem Apanim was also matzah. Shavuot, actually two exceptions. On Shavuot and Karban Toda. Okay, Karban Toda was also chametz. But aside from that, everything else that was brought into the Mikdash had to be matzah. Wasn't allowed to be chametz, right? Well, it's back in Parashat Vayikra. Kichol saor v'chol dvash, right? And dvash was the thing that was the sugar that provided that allowed it to turn into chametz. Okay, so we have many many signs that this is a pseudo karban, right? But when it comes to Chag HaMatzot, Moshe omits it. So I'd like to just focus on that for a minute, and from there to work outwards, because right now we have a lot of questions, and it's about time we started getting some direction over here to try to figure this out. Yeah. But. Right, but the funny part about it is that they ate matzah that night with the Pesach. Al matzot merim yochluhu, so they did have time to bake the matzah.
Maybe a different matzah.
So we have two different aspects of matzah. Right, good. Okay, so now we have to come back and try to figure out what's going on. It's like a great big puzzle. So how do the pieces fit together over here? Okay, so... Let's start a little bit with what Moshe does or does not say. Okay, Hashem basically told him about two things. Okay, and one of them is the Pesach, and the other one is Chag HaMatzot. When it comes to Pesach, he had to tell that to them. That was clear, because they needed to do that. But let's just take a step back for a second. B'nai Yisrael had been slaves in Mitzrayim now for a long time. Exactly how long, I don't know. If we take the 210 years, for the first generation, they weren't slaves. Yosef is alive, Yosef's brothers are alive. So the first generation, they're not slaves. Once they die out, Vayakom lechadash al Mitzrayim, and things begin to change. So I'm going to make up a number. Yeah, I'm going to make up a number, right? I'll make up, if you take the 210 years, I'm just making this up just for argument's sake. You know, numbers, I'm wrong, right? But just for argument's sake. 210 years, let's divide it into three sections. 70, 70, and 70. Chazal like to do that a lot also. Moshe's life, they divide up into 40, 40, and 40. Right? So here's 70, 70, 70, 210 divides up really neatly into three segments. 70 years is approximately the time that B'nai Yisrael and Mitzrayim until Yosef dies. They're 39. Yosef is 39 years old when they come to Mitzrayim. He's 110 when they die. So that 70 is about right. Okay? So for the first 70 years, they're not enslaved. For the last 70 years, I think it's fairly reasonable that they are enslaved. And in the 70 years in the middle, there's some kind of transition going on. Okay? Let's just use that as sort of typological kinds of numbers. 70 years is actually a really long time. I've met Jews from the former Soviet Union who grew up in the Soviet Union, whose parents grew up in the Soviet Union under the Soviet law, whose grandparents basically were raised as children under Soviet authorities. The Soviet authorities were atheists. So you now have children who are growing up as the grandchildren of atheists, as the children of atheists, in a culture that is completely atheistic. There is almost no chance of these people understanding, at least initially, having any kind of concept of God. They think you say God, and they say you're a fool. That's what they were taught. Religion is the opium of the masses. Opiate of the masses. Okay? Meaning, 70 years is enough time to completely transform a culture. And the culture and all the people who grew up in that culture. You know, when Hashem decrees that the Churban is going to happen after the reign of Menashe. You know why after the reign of Menashe? Because Menashe was a king for so long, for more than 50 years, that he completely transformed the culture. There was no way of turning the clock back. The culture had to be dismantled and then rebuilt from scratch. 50 years, 70 years is a long time. B'nai Yisrael and Mitzrayim have grown up as slaves. That's all. They were slaves, the children of slaves, the grandchildren of slaves. On the plane on the way over here from Israel, I sat there after my nap. And I turned on the little screen in front of me and I saw this movie that just won an Oscar, 12 Years a Slave. And there's a profound difference in that movie between the people who were born as slaves. And that's all their family ever knew, to that one guy who was actually born and raised a free man and was kidnapped. He sees things through very different eyes. But the slave is not in control of their own life. Rav Soloveitchik used to say that the slave is in control of his own time. That's why an Eved is patur from mitzvot asei shazman grama, because he has no control over his own time. Right? So you have these people who have no control over their lives, no control over the time. I'm going to come to them, I'm going to say, you know what? You're going to have a 7-day holiday. Well, that means nothing. They can't connect to that. What on earth do you do when you have a 7-day holiday? What does it mean to be free? What does it mean to have time in which the first day is no malacha and the last day is, what do you mean no malacha? That's all I know how to do. Moshe plays a really interesting role over here. And Moshe plays the role of educator. He hears what Hashem tells him and he says, you know what? I have to decide when's a good time to tell this to them. He doesn't omit it, he delays it. He decides that there is absolutely no way that B'nai Yisrael are going to be able to make heads or tails out of this mitzvah of a 7-day holiday. So you know what? I'm going to do something else. I'm going to tell them about what they have to do that night. Okay? They're used to taking instructions. Used to taking instructions? So here's a new instruction. You have God as your taskmaster now instead of Paro as your taskmaster. But Moshe, as the educator, also does something else. And this is extraordinary. And for this, I'm going to just share with you a vignette. When I was in yeshiva, I had a roommate for for a year who had an extraordinary gift. We would go, we would do a lot of things together. We go places together. We had experiences together. And I discovered that 2 weeks after we had an experience, or 6 months after we had an experience, he would tell an amazing story about it. I was there with him. I experienced the very same thing, but I didn't tell the story. I didn't have stories. Every moment in his life, he lived as a tellable moment. He experienced life through the eyes of this moment is a very significant moment. And he filed that somewhere or another in his experiential memory, and he was able to draw from that all the time. It's a gift. It's a gift for people who are living through a moment to know this is a really important moment in history. Or this is a really important moment in my life. Most people aren't aware of that, especially when things happen to them. You know, things happen to you. Oh, you get excited for a minute, then you go with the flow. He had this incredible ability to be able to tap in to the experience of that moment and say, oh my goodness, in 3 weeks I'm going to have an opportunity to tell this story. This is a really amazing story. He lived that moment as if it were so exciting. It was a gift. I would sit there and we would talk sometimes at night and I'd say, oh my goodness. His life is so rich and so full. It was amazing. Right? And we've all had these moments in our lives. Anybody who's over the age of 15 knows what I'm talking about, where we look back years later and we say, oh, do you remember where you were when Kennedy was shot? Or do you remember where you are when the hostages were freed at Entebbe? Right? When we were there when it was happening, so we got news, it was exciting, and we didn't think at that moment necessarily we were living through a historical moment. And then you look back years later and you say, oh my goodness, like that was a major moment in history. Right? I am sure that there are some people sitting here in the audience who look at the events of the last few weeks in Ukraine. And, you know, they read the newspapers, oh, this happened today, and this happened today, and this happened today, and this happened today, and I wonder what's going to happen next afterwards. And there are some people who are sitting there and say, oh my goodness, we are reliving the Anschluss. In my life, we are reliving the Soviet invasion of Czechoslovakia. Right? It was like, oh my goodness. It was a major turning point in world history. Right? The invasion of Czechoslovakia changed the course of history for the next 25 years. Right? So there are some people who walk around and they look at what happened there and oh my, wow, this is a major turning point in the Middle East, in Europe, in Russian relations with the U.S. I mean, this is a big event, right? What does Moshe do? Moshe turns to Bnei Yisrael and he says, look, I'm going to tell you to do some weird things. Take a sheep, slaughter it, paint your doorposts, eat the meal, ready to run. It makes no sense, right? But then he does something amazing. He turns to me and says, I want you to understand. This night, I want you to take a picture of this night in your mind. Remember this night for the rest of your lives. This night is a turning point in your lives. It's a turning point in all of Jewish history. And what Moshe does is instead of telling them about Chag HaMatzot, to which they will have absolutely no connection, makes no sense to them, what does he do? Moshe turns and tells them, you know, eventually you're going to get to Eretz Yisrael. Eventually basically means in his mind, like in 3 months. We're leaving here, we're going straight to Eretz Yisrael. Right? You're getting there. Right? And as far as he knew, they were going straight from there to Eretz Yisrael. There were no delays. All the things that happened in the Midbar were not planned. He certainly had no clue about them. So he says, when you get there, ki tavo el ha'aretz, means next year at this time. That's what ki tavo el ha'aretz means. Next year at this time, right? So do this thing again. And when your kids ask you, why are we doing it again? So I want you to tap in to the images of this moment. Because this moment is the transformative moment in your lives. You have to turn your present into a historical moment. So do it. And then you tell your kids, Zevach Pesach hu Lashem, Asher Pasach al batei v'nei Yisrael v'mitzrayim, b'nod port mitzrayim v'et bateinu itzil. Right? He saved us. Right? And we look back at this moment. This is the turning point moment. And that's what Moshe does. He takes the experience that they have that night and transforms it into a historical moment. Remember this for the rest of your lives. Don't just experience it and let it be another one of your experiences. This is the moment that changes everything. He's identifying it. He's doing what my roommate did naturally. And then, we have something else that happens. And now you'll understand, you'll see the weirdness, and you'll understand right away what happens. If you take a look at page 1, we went backwards here. If you take a look at page 1, so page 1 is the beginning of Perek Yud Gimel. Perek Yud Gimel comes right after the end of Perek Yud Beit, and I'll just read to you one pasuk from the end of Perek Yud Beit so you understand the context. Vayehi be'etzem hayom hazeh. This is the last pasuk of Perek Yud Beit. Vayehi be'etzem hayom hazeh. Hotzi Hashem et b'nei Yisrael mi'eretz Mitzrayim al tzivotam. It was on that day that Hashem took b'nei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. Okay, so the end of Perek Yud Beit, b'nei Yisrael leave. They're out. Something they could have spoken about but never really imagined what it would look like, what it would be, what it would feel like. We're leaving, and there are no Egyptians with us, and we're just walking out, and we're not poor. We've got stuff. The Egyptians gave us stuff. Meaning the experience, that first moment of freedom. So look what Hashem does. Hashem comes to Moshe as B'nai Israel experience their first moment of freedom, and Hashem tells him, Vayedaber Hashem Moshe Lemor, it's on page 1, beginning of Perek Yud Gimel, Kadesh li kol bechor, peter kol rechem b'vnei Yisrael ba'adam u'ba'behema lihu. I want you to sanctify for me the firstborn. Firstborn human, firstborn animal. They belong to me. Okay. What do you expect Moshe to go tell B'nai Yisrael now? Mitzvah bechor. Take a look what he says. Vayomer Moshe el ha'am, Zachoret hayom hazeh asher yitzatem mitzrayim yibit avadim. Ki bechuzek yad otziah Hashem etchem izeh v'lo yeachel chameitz. I thought he was supposed to tell them about Bechor. Now he tells them not to eat chameitz. Hayom atem yotzim bechodesh ha'aviv. So this is the month of spring. I guess Toronto doesn't understand this pasuk. Vahayaki viacha Hashem el ha'eretz ha'kanani v'achiti v'amari achivi v'ayivusi asher nishba l'avotecha latet lach eretz zavat chalav u'dvash v'avadata at ha'avodah hazot b'chodesh hazeh shivat yamim tochal matzot uvayom ha'shvi'i chag la'Hashem matzot yachel et shivat ha'yamim v'lo yireh lecha chameis v'lo yireh lecha tzaor b'chol gvulecha. Hashem tells Moshe to tell them about Bechor. What does he tell them about? Chag HaMatzot. Right? What does Moshe understand? He's not ignoring Hashem. He will eventually tell them about Bechor. Don't worry, that comes in the second paragraph. Okay? Pasuk Yud Beit, in the continuation, he comes back to that. But Moshe makes a decision, a conscious decision as an educator. And what does he do? Moshe transforms this and he says, now that you've had a taste of freedom, you're out, you're free, guess what? Now I'm going to teach you about the holiday of freedom. Next year, when you get to Eretz Yisrael, you're going to have a 7-day holiday of freedom. This year, you're living your 7-day holiday of freedom. Okay, and how are we living that? We left Mitzrayim on the first day of this holiday of freedom. We're going to walk for 7 days. Moshe doesn't know this yet, but it's, you know, this is what, at least according to Chazal, ends up happening. They walk for 7 days, and when does Kriyat Yam Suf happen? Day number 7. That concludes that period. And once they're across Yam Suf and the sea closes behind them, then it's not only that the Egyptians are killed, but the door back has been shut. That is the moment of freedom. The holiday of freedom starts when they leave Mitzrayim, and it concludes when the door back is closed and the sea, the, right, the magic door that opened up in the sea, that door closes up. Right? Moshe, at the moment they taste freedom, Moshe says, okay, let's turn that freedom and let me tell you, because you're going to have a chag of freedom. And what this does is this opens up the exploration of what's the difference between Chag HaMatzot and the Pesach. Chag HaMatzot is the Chag of Freedom. It's the Chag of Freedom from Mitzrayim. It's Yom HaAtzma'ut that lasts for 7 days. Right? It is a day in which we become a nation unenslaved, unencumbered by our masters from the past. That's Chag HaMatzot. I recently learned something very interesting, that in the ancient world, bread was invented, bread from wheat was invented in Egypt. Which means, what is matzot? Matzot means we eliminate Egypt from ourselves. Chag HaMatzot basically is, you can take the Jew out of Egypt, and you have to take the Egypt out of the Jew. No chametz in your house, no seor in your house. The bread was a symbol, of Egypt. It's interesting, because I had learned that. One of my students had actually shown it to me. And then I actually saw it in the Chumash. Right? What couldn't they bake? It says, V'yafu et habatzeka sharotimu mitzrayim ugot matzot. Right? Ugot matzot. You know, when the three guests come to visit Abraham, so he runs to Sarah and says, Lushi vasi ugot. It's matzah. And then when they come to Lot's house, what does he make for them? Umatzotafa. Ugot and matzot are the same thing. And this is the pasuk that, but what Lot made for them, what Abraham made for them, was exactly the same thing. This is the pasuk that proves it. Right? Because that was the bread. It was lafa. It made lafa. It didn't rise. It was flatbread. Okay? So, the Chag HaMatzot, right, is the Chag of national freedom. It was the first Yom HaAtzma'ut for the Jewish people. We are no longer enslaved. And it was a seven-day holiday in which the symbol of our enslavement is obliterated from our houses. That's why we have to get rid of chametz from our house. That's why we eat matzah. Because that became the symbol of our freedom. We no longer have Egypt on our shoulders. So what's Pesach? What's Pesach? Especially if it's not a karban, a pseudo-karban, proto-karban. If it's not a karban, not even a chag. Maybe a chag, one place in Chumash is called a chag. You know, the Zeva Chag HaPesach. So if you were to take a look at the bottom of page 3, I brought one example of this, but there are other examples of this in Tanakh as well. Divrei HaYamim, which is everybody's favorite book, Divrei HaYamim describes a process that Yoshiyahu engages in. You have a similar process that Chizkiyahu does, with similar kinds of things and similar kinds of symbols, but I chose this passage because it was as clear as it could be. Vayishlach HaMelech, this is HaMelech Yoshiyahu. Vayasof et kol ziknei Yehuda v'Yerushalayim. He gathers everybody together. He gathers the leaders. Vayal HaMelech Beit Hashem v'chol ish Yehuda v'Yoshvei Yerushalayim v'Akohanim v'Leviim v'chol ha'ami gadol v'akatan. So he gathers together now everybody. Kohanim, Leviim, elders, youngers, everybody. Children too, which is significant. Vayikra v'oznehem et kol divrei sefer habrit hanimtza Beit Hashem. He reads in front of them the Book of the Covenant. Sefer HaBrit. Vaya'amod HaMelech HaLomdo, he stands on his stand. Vayichrot et HaBrit lifnei Hashem. And he establishes a covenant between Bnei Yisrael in his generation and Hashem, meaning he engages in a renewal of vows. They're renewing the marriage. There's a renewal of the Brit between Bnei Yisrael and Hashem. ללכת אחרי השם ולשמור את מצוותיו ועד ותיו וחוקיו בכל לבבו וכל נפשו, לעשות את דברי הברית, to follow the words of this covenant, הכתובים על הספר הזה. Okay. Jump down three more pesukim to Pasuk Aleph. And as part of this covenantal ceremony, what does Yoshiyahu do? Vaya'as Yoshiyahu v'Yerushalayim Pesach v'Hashem. Vayishchatu ha-Pesach ba'arba'a asar l'chodesh harishon. Okay? What is the Pesach? The Pesach is the sign of the breach between Hashem and the Jewish people. You know why Hashem skipped over those homes in Mitzrayim? Not because the blonde on the doorpost said, hey, skip over me. But because the blonde on the doorpost said, I have just signed a covenant of blood with Hashem. I am part of a people. I commit myself to the people. And I have committed myself to a covenant with Hashem. Hashem says, anybody who's part of my covenant, I skip over. If you're part of the covenant, you're saved. You're not part of the covenant, you die. And that's why, what's the punishment for somebody who doesn't do Karban Pesach who has the opportunity? Karet, you're cut off. Of course you're cut off. Because you didn't renew your identity card. You know, when I made Aliyah, I used to walk around proudly saying, this is the coolest thing that I own. This is my Tudat Zehut. Right? The Karban Pesach was your Tudat Zehut. You had to get it stamped every year. That was your Tudat Zehut to say you are part of a covenantal people who has a breach with Hashem. You don't get it stamped, it gets revoked. That's karet. We revoke your covenant. And that's why there's only one time in the entire Torah where you have a group of people who don't have an opportunity to do a mitzvah, and they come screaming to Moshe, it's not fair. I want the opportunity to do that mitzvah. What are we talking about? Pesach Sheni. Right? Midbar Perek Tet, I believe. Why are they so desperate to do Karban Pesach? They come to Moshe. Moshe turns to Hashem because they were afraid that if I don't do the Karban, if I don't do this Pesach, they also don't call it a Karban. If I don't do the Pesach, then am I cut off? Am I cut off? Am I out of the covenant? Am I out of the people? Comes along Hashem and says, no. If you were forced, and if it wasn't by choice, you were tamei, you were too far, then make sure that you come on what in Israel they would call Moed Bit to take your test. Right? Meaning you have an opportunity for a makeup 1 month later. Okay, on the 14th day of the next month, come back and do the Pesach. Right? There's no Chag HaMatzot involved with that. Because you can celebrate the holiday of national freedom. You don't need to do all the things of the national freedom, but you do need to recommit yourself to that covenant with Hashem. So 1 month later, you do the Pesach. You get a chance, the office will open up, and you can come, you can get your Tudat Zehut stamped again. And that's Pesach and Chag HaMatzot, and I wish all of us a Chag Sameach.